The people. we need a new look at the old book today. Let's stand together and we'll start our service with our hymns. Take your hymn book, please, and turn to 239. 239, I found a friend who is all to me. I'm saved, saved, saved. Sing it like you are this morning. 239, on the first verse. I found a up on the last verse. Lift it up. Here we go. When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, I love to take and a little home to live with me singing just over the other page, 238. 238, ye must be born. You didn't have to turn very far on that one. Amen. A ruler once came to Jesus and said, Jesus said, ye must be born again. Amen. On the first verse.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The master may answer in words true and plain.
So we'll come back and sing the last verse in a moment, but take time to shake hands with those around you this morning while the instruments play.
Thank you.
again. I hope you are this morning. Let's sing the last verse together.
A dear one in heaven, thy heart yearns to see at the beautiful gate watching for thee. And lift to the note of this song.
Much for the good singing this morning. You may be seated. At this time, Sister Sandy Johnson is going to sing for us.
I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling. Come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain guides the eagle through the pathless air, and surely He remembers me. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me on mountain bleak.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. I'm glad He's looking over us, amen, and watching over us all the time. We have men coming down to see if anybody's a first-time visitor with us. If it's your very first time with us, we'd love to get a record of your visit. So if you'd slip your hand up, these men are going to give you a card and a pen, and they will ask you to just fill it out for us and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, and then we'll be able to have that. Thank you for being with us. I saw a few hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is our announcement time, prayer time. Lots of things to announce, but just let me announce, I got all kinds of grandpa time. Amen. And that was a blessing to me. Thank you for letting us be there and being gone. And I know that thank you for everybody that covered for us. What a blessing it was to be able to be up there with my daughter and her husband and my grandbaby. Amen. And I tried to sneak him in the car, but I didn't get out the driveway before they got us. No, we had a great time with them. And to be honest with you, so I can get it away, get it out of the way before the message, it was my blessing. You know, he's very young, and he's not cradling and just kind of the cooing stage. Now he's kind of, you know, he looks like he understands and he's trying to talk to you, but he really doesn't. Then he grabs a handful of ear or hair, not my case, but anything else he can get a hold of. And so, I mean, he's just grabbing for whatever. And so he really is at that age, but he's able to reach out. And so our very last day, I was sitting at the table reading my Bible in the morning, and mom brought him out, and he just just threw both arms out to come to Grandpa. And so praise the Lord. And, that made my heart go pitter-patter. And then we had to put the car in gear and drive hard, to get back here. And so, but we appreciate to everybody that filled in, did a great job. Everybody that's been faithful while we were away for just a little while. Got to visit some of our home church and folks and just see some folks just have invested in our life. So what a blessing, amen, to be able to be gone. And so we want to make sure that you know that we can bring your packages from Restore-a-thon. I know that it may seem like that's ancient history, but it really was, that victory wasn't all that long ago, was it? Amen. And so it's still a great thing. And if you need your package, if you called in and donated, but you never were able to come down to the tower and pick up your package, we can bring your package here to the church and you can pick it up. But we don't want to bring everyone's package here and then have to take the ones that don't need them here. So what we need you to do is go to the back and sign up to do that, and then we'll make sure your package is here for you to pick up. So if you could do that, help us with that, or you can go down there and pick it up at the radio station. Brother Doug and Brother Danny and all those guys would love to see you down there at the tower again, all right? And so other things that are coming up, please stay in prayer for our college students. They'll be making the travel back and going to start classes on Tuesday, so they'll all be flying in, some of them driving in. So be in prayer for them as the college students head back. And then pray for our Christian school teachers, because the Christian school starts up tomorrow again after spring break. And then also pray for the young people to be motivated, sometime at least by midweek, because, they've all been out of school for a week, and most of them, what they'd like to do, spring break forever. All right, so pray for the teachers to be able to motivate the students to get back to it, all right? And then also we have our care meeting that we've been having. That's our grief meeting, as it's been announced before, over in the Village Chapel on March 28th, and that'll be at 5 p.m. over there. I know several people went out. If you didn't have time, it's not a meeting. You say, well, I don't know if I need to go. If you've lost someone, you're grieving for some reason, and maybe you have, it's been a long time in the past for you, maybe the reason you need to go to the meeting is for someone else who is going through what you've been through in the past, and just be there for them, all right? And so it's a meeting that anyone who's grieving or has been through that, it's really a time of fellowship for folks that have lost folks and things. And so it's a time that you can be a help and you can minister to others or be ministered to. So either way, whatever that means for you, Brother Perkins will be leading that on March 28th, Tuesday at 5 p.m. over in the Village Chapel. And we'd love to have you come out. And it's going to be a time of encouragement. Please be in prayer for the New Life Bless-a-thon on April 1st, all right? And so Brother Terry Donahue is the one that leads that, and he has. And so be in prayer for that. And this is going to be going to correct some flooding, the problems that they had at one of their orphanages in Cambodia. So if you could be a help with that, please do so. Let me say this, just in case I miss it, Brother Harold Hainer, Mrs. Bradford's dad, has passed away, and the service will be this Monday at 2 p.m., just a graveside service. You're invited to it. But he's asked, in lieu of flowers or anything like that for the family, if you would donate to this, the New Life Bless-a-thon, in his honor, because he was wanting to have something simple, and it would love the proceeds to go to something like this that's a worthy cause, all right? And so as we continue on with the announcements, Wednesday night, Kids Club, Bible Study, Bible Institute, and Bible Study, all that's going to happen this week, so be back in your place at the appointed time. The meal will happen as well. April 2nd is the beginning of our camp campaign, so that is next Sunday. So next Sunday, we're going to kick off our camp campaign. Wednesday night, if you'll come out, I'm going to explain it and just kind of do some things where we take time to talk about it, because the camp campaign not only involves our young people, but us, because we're the ones that kind of give to this. We get behind it and we encourage them to work hard at learning Bible scripture, being faithful to church, and dressing right. And then in turn, we pay for them to have a camp week. They can earn their camp week, all right? I believe that it's a good process for a church to teach young people to work for what they want, There's a bunch of people just giving everything away in this life, and it doesn't teach our young people anything. It's good for us to teach them to put in the time and put in the work and to receive the reward at the end of it. So be here Wednesday night as we talk about the camp campaign, really kind of get in the scripture a little bit about the theme, and then we'll pray about it together on our prayer study and Bible night this Wednesday night. April 6th and 7th will be the college days down at the college. So many of you I know mark things on our calendar to pray for. This will be time as college students or high school students come to the college and look at the college that are praying for where God will put them for the future. And so I really want the church to make it a matter of prayer this year like you always have, but really I want to put it before you early that you'll pray. What we desperately need, Jesus knew it a long time ago, is laborers for the harvest. And so pray that God will give us laborers for the harvest during this college days. Dr. Shelton Smith is going to be with us next Sunday. He'll preach all day. So I'd love for you to invite other folks to be with you. Dr. Shelton Smith is he heads up the Sword of the Lord, but he's a great preacher and he's my friend and he's been around a long time. And I think if the Sword of the Lord, if you've tracked it for decades of time, one of the most conservative men, independent, fundamental Baptist leaders of the Sword of the Lord is Dr. Shelton Smith. And I appreciate his stand on the Bible and his and everything he writes in the Sword. And so if you could be here, I'd love for you to be here, not only Sunday morning, but make plans to be back for Sunday night to hear him. He's worth hearing. He's on our radio station. He actually drove 2 hours to be at our Restore-a-thon for 1 hour. And so he's invested in us and he cares about us and he'll give us something that we need if we'll show up and be open to it next Sunday. So invite someone else to come with you. And then before we turn to our prayer list, two more announcements. One of them is the Daytona Outreach Mission Trip. They had 380 total souls saved over there. Thank goodness for that. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And that's been going on a long time. Thank you, Dr. Lee, for keeping us informed about it and for everyone that prayed for those souls to be won. And then something that's special to me, I'm taking a little bit of extra time this morning with the announcements, but something that's special to our church. We've invested a long time. Many of you know, just not too many years ago, I was interim pastoring down at Bethel Baptist Church in Lake Placid, as well as being here and driving back and forth. And then Keith Carringer came and the church voted him as their pastor. He is just finishing his first full year as being their pastor. And on Thursday, he contacted me and counseled with me a little bit. And on Friday, he went to the bank and they paid their mortgage off. Amen. And so that is a big deal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so that is something that we've been praying for, that we've been invested in as a church, and something that we ought to thank the Lord to see that God has done that through the ministry there. Now Highlands Baptist Church. Others, as we turn to our prayer list, there's several that we'll just kind of get the top ones that were just turned in. Miss Vesta Conley is not with us today. She had to go to the hospital last night, or it looks like yesterday now, with her daughter, and it looks like she's staying with her daughter, but she was having some breathing problems. And so pray for Miss Vesta, and her daughter reached out to me, and we're going to keep in contact to find out just what's going on in the upcoming days here. Others, Brenda Higgins has turned in, and Mrs. Isle's daughter just wants the prayer here. She has surgery coming up about 3 weeks away. Others on the prayer list that we've mentioned, Wendy Brock is scheduled for cancer surgery this Wednesday. So that's Wendy Brock, and make sure you pray for her Wednesday and during that surgery. Others, pray for health and safety for Brother Scotty and Miss Barbara Drake, who are on a missions trip to Grenada and St. Vincent. Others, Brother Wiebe and his family are traveling there. Be in prayer for them as they've traveled and come back. And I saw them here today, and that's why I said thank you for praying for them. And also continue to pray for the family here with the loss. Miss Cindy Bradford's father passed away. We mentioned this earlier, but want you to pray about just them and just to get peace here. And this upcoming Monday, tomorrow at 2 p.m. over in Arbondale Cemetery will be the graveside service for Brother Harold. And so if you would please pray for them, and if you wish to attend, you can be there. We'd love for you to be there at the graveside. Miss Jackie Ferguson went home to be with the Lord also this past week, and there's a visitation over at Oak Ridge this coming Saturday at 11 a.m., and then the service will be at noon. And so you're invited to be there as well. We'd love for you to be there. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Vic Grafton, one of our deacons. He's a long way over there, but this morning I ask you to come pray. Brother Perkins is not here this morning as well, and I'll ask you to pray for him. He's just not feeling well, and so we'll ask you to pray for him. Brother Vic, we appreciate you. Appreciate this man and all he does here for our ministry. Appreciate you, my brother.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege, the opportunity we have to be in this place today. And Lord, we want to thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace for us. And Lord, we come to you as a needy people this morning, recognizing that there are so many on our prayer list, not only those that were announced, but our big prayer list in the back. Just ask you to meet the needs of each and every one, those that have lost loved ones, those that are fighting cancer, just so many needs. Lord, we just pray that you'll meet each one according to your perfect will. And Lord, we pray for the service today, for the preaching your word. Pray, Lord, that if there's one person in this place that's not saved, that today might be that day that they would accept Christ. And then, Lord, we thank you for the offering. Ask you to bless it. We pray it all now in Christ's name. Amen.
You may be seated. Our choir is going to sing for us now. I'm on the winning side. Thank you, choir. I hope you're on the winning side with us. Amen. Let's stand together again. Take your hymn books. Turn to number 75. Hymn number 75, Ron Hamilton's great hymn, Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. We're going to sing only the first verse. It's just the first verse, number 75, together.
God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. Brother Jeremiah is coming to sing for us now at this time before our message.
You're worried about tomorrow and what the future holds. Your mind is filled with questions as you face the unknown. You spend so many sleepless nights trying to work it out. Worry has consumed your faith with all this fear and doubt. But worry ends where faith begins, when you put it in God's hands and leave it there. Oh, just leave it there. He's still in control, so trust in him and take a hold of faith again. For worry ends where faith begins. Why should we ever worry? Why should we fret at all? When worry only hinders the mighty hand of God. He said it is impossible to please him without faith. So lay aside your worry and hold on in Jesus' name. Trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. You'll find worry ends where faith begins, when you put it in God's hands and leave it there. Oh, just leave it there. He's still in control, so trust in him and take a hold of faith again. For worry ends where faith begins. That's where worry ends, where faith begins.
Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Amen. He's got to see him while I was way up north, amen, and it's one of our bus captains, but he was visiting a young lady, amen, and that's from our college, and I was checking in on him just to make sure that everything was, so I checked in on him, brother, all right, so he was being good, amen, just kidding a little bit, but I'm thankful that he's back in his place and on his bus route, amen, and so take your Bibles this morning, go to Psalms chapter number 40. I had this morning on our time, I see that where the time is, and so I heard that everybody else kept good time while I was gone, so now I feel pressured. Amen. Just kidding. Amen. just a little bit. Amen. It is good to be home. Amen. And it's good to see everybody in God's house. It's, you know, I don't know how to say it other than just kind of before I announce the title and say, you know, it's good to go and see family, but it's good to come home and be in your church and see your church family. Amen. And just both of those things are things that are desperately needed in the Christian's life. Amen. And be able to have both of those things. And so this morning I want to preach a message for the tape room. The title will be An Uplifting Power. Uplifting Power. In Psalms chapter number 40, a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that many of us have read before, heard read, and without a doubt is something that each one of us have read through. If you read in the Psalms in the morning for encouragement and uplifting power in the morning, that we all should look for from the Word of God. Sometimes we look for all kinds of psychology of man to drag us up out of the miry pit and set our feet upon a rock. And I'm just going to tell you, it's sinking sand at best. And even when they get it right, they got it from God. And so the best place to go to is the one that knows us better than we know ourselves, the very Creator, God of all the universe and of every man, woman, boy, child. And that's the only thing that you can identify as. If you're a human, okay, boy, girl, check the box. Man or woman, amen. You help yourself. Just trying to set myself up for where, you know, I don't want you to get any false ideas of who I am. All right out of the gate, just make sure we know we're all on the same page. Amen. But I do believe we live in a day and age where people look in all the wrong places for uplifting power. And the world itself tells us to look within. And if we don't like what we find, we can re-identify. And that's as false a thought as anybody's ever come up with. It's a false theory. It's as bad as evolution. Because when you start, you know, we didn't realize all those years ago just how bad evolution would come out to be. But when a person, the process of evolution has come to the problem where now it has poisoned the minds of Americans to the place where now they think they can just say it and evolve into something else. And can be. And we don't think, oh, well, what harm is in it? It's just a false theory. Well, you found out, didn't you? We're living it. It's encamped all around us, and it's taught at schools, and now we have a governor who is going to war over what we teach our kids. Because he realized where it's taken us. He's given, listen, you don't think, unless I held up in the invitation, I just look, it's been voted in, the bill that we've been caring about and been praying about, it went through. The governor signed it into law, and now we have this, and you say, well, did we get everything we wanted? Not everything we wanted. I just wanted them to leave us alone. But they did pass it. And I am proud of some of the legislature. One of them was being argued against about putting more and more restrictions on private schools and religious schools that would take the voucher that they were voting on. And he got up in the assembly and said, we will not make a private school a public school. We will not make a private religious school a public school, because that would give, the whole purpose of the bill is to give our parents a choice. Folks, I hope you understand that this isn't normal. This is something God did and invested and worked in our state to bring to fruition. There's a lot of other states who have a voucher, but not one that's named parent choice. With the sole purpose of a parent being able to make a choice of how they're going to educate their child. Now, there's some things in it I don't care for, and I will not take all of my time this morning to butcher a bill that has already been signed into law and will take action on July. We'll continue to pray about it. We'll continue to learn and see about how we can make those things more applicable to what we would like to see. But I'm thankful for your prayers. Yeah. I really believe because of the prayers of God's people and some of us standing up and calling our elected officials, they stood up for what they believe. Do you know there's a lot of times there are things that they believe, but they sit down and be quiet because they don't think, just like they're supposed to represent us. You know, when he stood up and said, we will not make these private schools a public school, he was shouting out for all the people that called from his electoral area. He was standing up and saying what he knew his people had called him and said, this is what I want you to represent me and say. He stood up and said it. And sometimes we forget that they represent us, that they work for us, and we have every right to call them and tell them how we want our vote to go. And too many times we fall asleep and let things pass by. You say, I didn't come to get preached to about politics. Well, would you come? You came to get preached to, didn't you? All right. You do the listening and I'll do the preaching. All right. You show up and let God tell you what he wanted you to hear. All right. Amen and amen. All right. Now that we're all buckled up and ready. Psalm chapter number 40, the word of God is powerful, it's quick, it's dividing asunder, but more than anything else, this book is an uplifting book. It can cut us to the quick and teach us just who we are, but sometimes when we find ourselves in a old terrible pit in miry clay, hung up in a place that we cannot believe we got ourselves into, we can look up to the God of heaven, and this book tells us that he'll reach down and pull us out of a place that we never should have been. It tells us about how when we got ourselves into a pickle of sin, death, and hell, that God sent his only begotten son to drag us out of a place that only he could purchase us back from. Here in the psalmist David here writes under the inspiration of God, and he says something about how we ought to trust God. Now, I'm going to preach this morning about uplifting power, but I just want every one of us to understand sometimes the problem that we have is waiting for an answer. Do you know sometimes the answer has already been given, but it ain't time to deliver the answer? God is a God of outside of time and knew I was going to ask it before I ever ask it. I believe in God's sovereignty just that way. But God also has determined an answer and when he'll answer me. And my job is to keep on asking and to wait patiently for the answer. Folks, sometimes in the midst of our struggles of our life, we think God doesn't care and does not hear, but God is an uplifting God. And sometimes if he pulled us out on the first call, we would not be thankful. We would not praise his holy name. God knows who you are and when you need to be pulled out. You say, well, why didn't he show up before Lazarus went in the grave? Because he wanted to bring glory not only to himself, but he wanted to teach Mary, Martha some things about who he was and the people standing around. Lazarus was just somebody that allowed himself to be laid in a grave and laid still until God got the glory. Sometimes in this Christian life, when we find ourselves in a pit, we didn't do anything to get ourselves down there sinfully, but God put us in a pit just like old Joseph because he wanted to bring us out. He wanted to take us from the pit to the palace. And in the midst of it, we just need to wait and say, God, I don't know how you're going to get glory out of this, but I'll stay put until you lift me out. Let's pray together before we dive into the message this morning. Lord, we come to you. Lord, we thank you. We come to you from your word, Lord, and we just beg you, Lord, to teach us, Lord, this morning. I pray, God, you'd use me as your messenger boy to deliver the message that you've given me to preach to your people this morning, Lord. And I pray that you would help them, Holy Spirit of God, that you would go and help them to be listeners and doers of your word this morning, that you would take and let the seed of the gospel fall upon good ground. If there's someone here that does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, let them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by accepting his finished work of Calvary today. If there are Christians here, Lord, that undoubtedly find themselves in a pit, Lord, help them to know that you got them there for a reason, that you're going to find glory and you're going to pull them out, Lord, if they trust in you. Help us, Lord, to see your word for the truth that it is and apply it to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward that cannot be reckoned up. In order unto thee I would declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I don't know if you've studied this chapter before, but the last few verses we just read are not true of any man except for the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes along and he says here, sacrifice and offerings thou dost not desire, mine ears hast thine open, burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not. That is still David speaking. He said, I realize, God, that you have burnt offerings and you had sin offerings and you had all that, but really what you really want to require is just obedience. And Jesus came and became the greatest and sole sacrifice for every sin of all mankind, as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and fulfilled what was pictured throughout the Old Testament. And all the sacrifices that were made were to picture Jesus and what he would do in his sacrifice for all sin. But what God desired, he says, then I said, lo, do you know what really was perfect? What really? The blood of Jesus Christ. Everything was perfect. Do you know that he surrendered and was sacrificed in perfect obedience to the Father? Do you know he's that picture that every one of us need to be? But even here, the psalmist says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Do you know you can't have the law of God in your heart until you have a new one? And there had to be somebody that could come and make that true statement that he came. You know, Jesus came in the volume of the book. Sometimes we miss the uplifting power that Jesus Christ was predicted over and over and over again. And when David writes in this psalm, he writes the words that Jesus Christ would come to earth and say, lo, I come in the volume of the book. He said, I've been predicted. Prophet after prophet told of my coming, my birth, my life, and my death, and my resurrection. Hey, folks, we live in a day and age where sometimes people say, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? He came in the volume of the book. This word of God that I hold so precious, that we have plastered on the back wall behind us. The reason we love this book is because this book told me of a man that was going to come that wasn't like every other man. He was a perfect man. He was the Son of God who came from heaven and died on Calvary and rose again and loved me before I loved myself and knew what I needed and died on Calvary and purchased me back to himself and offered reconciliation to me. I didn't even know what I needed. I remember being raised in a church as a boy and hearing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and really not understanding all that it meant. But one day, I realized all along who Jesus was. See, not too long ago, it does something inside of me. It stirs my soul when I get to sit down in my church that I grew up in. And I see that there are people still there being faithful. And I can go back in my mind's eye and I remember the Sunday after Sunday after Sunday that I sat there and I heard preaching, but I didn't know the truth. I had religion, but not a relationship. And I went back and I remember the day that I realized I was in a pit. I realized that I was in sinking sand in the bottom of that pit, and it was only a matter of time before I would be swallowed up. And then the preacher told me the same old story I had heard over and over again. But somehow that day it rang truer than it ever rang before. And I remember reaching up. See, before I had listened and I heard and I consumed the knowledge. But one day I reached up and I cried out to heaven and I said, Lord, I'm going to die and go to hell without you. None of my righteousness is going to help me at all. They're just filthy rags. My mom and daddy's salvation can never extend to me. I have to have a personal salvation for myself. You say all that didn't go through your head. Oh, friend, it did. I started to reconcile all the things that I had somehow just kind of equated all these pieces of things mattered in my life. But then I realized the only thing that truly mattered was Jesus and what he had done on Calvary. And that day, I used an Old Testament word that Jesus brought into the New Testament scripture, and I repented. And when I mean repented of my sin, I was a 15-year-old boy, so I didn't quit drinking. I didn't quit going to the bars. I'd never been there. But you know what I repented from? Anything else I was trusting in outside of Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm sorry for all that sin of thinking I could get there any other way. And I realized that you're the only one that can get the glory. You're the only one that paid the price. And boy, I thank you for that. And I called upon the name of the Lord. And that day, I felt like all of a sudden something took a hold of me. And the pit that I was in, all of a sudden I was transported and my feet were set upon a rock. And the rock's name was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an uplifting moment in my life. Now, you say, well, have you ever been in a pit? Oh, yeah. But the pits I've been in since then, somebody went with me. And I, instead of realizing, like I told you before, I'm in a pickle. Now I look over and say, God, we're in a pickle. Now I ride down the road and my car breaks down. I say, God, your car broke down. How you going to fix it? I'm serious. I mean, the roof leaks. God, your roof's leaking. How are we going to fix it? You say, what do you mean? I'm just saying it's a different world since I come up out of the miry pit. Give me a different heart. Now I don't live this life to myself or for myself. All of a sudden, I have a companion in every trial and tribulation. I have an uplifting God when I find my way. I realize, listen, you say, well, what do you mean? I'm just saying, you know, I realize in my circumstances, I'm not limited to circumstances anymore. I realize there's somebody bigger in this situation, in this equation now. I see in verse number 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Number 1, if you're taking notes today, I want to say he lifted me up. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Do you know he listened up? He listened up. And then he lifted up. Do you know that it only takes to be saved to crying out to a holy God and saying, God, it says that if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Do you know sometimes we make salvation so hard? But just like the psalmist and a person that found themselves, you know, anybody that falls down a well or any kind of pit or any kind of hole, most of the time the only thing they can do is look up and holler. Help me! I'm in a hole. I'm in a pit. I'm in a bad place. Somebody throw me a rope. How about this? Somebody throw me a lifeline. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I can take myself back to the place that Jesus found me that day. And I can realize that I was a desperate man down inside of a pit. And I called out to the only one that could save, and his name was Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that all along, do you know that the rope had already been made? He didn't weave a rope when I started calling out. He had been weaving that rope all the way through the volume of the book. You know, the rope had already been tied and snatched up, and even if I was down a well with water in it, he'd have thrown a life preserver in there with me, with the rope tied to it. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm just telling you. When I called, it happened just like that. It didn't take God by surprise that I was down that pit. Before I ever found myself way down as low as I was, God wanted to save me all along the way. But the rope wasn't too short to pull me out. He didn't get surprised that I was down there. He knew my plight all along, and he was waiting and wishing that I would call out to him. He had prepared everything that needed to be done for salvation. All he had to do then was keep listening for my call. Do you know, if you're here today and you're without Jesus Christ, do you know what Jesus Christ is doing right now? He's at the top of the pit, at the top of the well of your life, and he's listening for you to cry out to him. The only thing that stands between you and heaven is you bowing your head and your heart and calling out to a holy God and saying, I need thee every hour. I need salvation. I'm lost and on my way to a devil's hell. But what I'd like to do is call out to you and exchange my sin for your righteousness. I'd like to exchange my pit for a palace. I'd like to exchange my position as a poor and needy sinner to be a son of God. Hey, folks, I don't know about you this morning, but I get excited when I realize where I was lifted out of. I get excited when I realize where he set my feet. He brought me up. You know, he not only brought me up and lifted me out of that place when he listened up and lifted me up, he brought me up and put me on a place where I wasn't going to sink any longer. He set my feet upon a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. That means when he pulled me up, he set my feet in a book of good doctrine. He came in the volume of the book. If I would just come to him in the volume of the book and stay in the book, he'd keep my feet on the solid rock. Do you know this book is a book of truth? Do you know why we get into all kinds of errors? Because we listen to a bunch of men instead of God. We go on YouTube and we go to other books that men have written about God's word, and we take that for face value instead of just trusting the word of God. God has told us everything he wants us to know about himself, but we'll go everywhere else trying to learn about it. He says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Do you know that God not only will bring us up, but he sets us up with a direction? Do you know God is so good that he will not, if we call out to him, he'll listen up at our call. He is listening today for you to call upon his name. And once he's brought you up, lifted you out of the miry clay, and brought you up and set you up on the solid rock, do you know what he expects of you? He says he establishes my goings. Not to turn around and walk back into miry pit. Now, I ain't got time to tell you all the stories, but it was cold while I was up north. I started to complain about it. My wife said, I got a skirt on. I don't want to hear it. So I got tougher. I walked on. Amen. I just walked on and was freezing. Amen. But it was windy. You know how that windy cold is? And it reminded me, even one day, one of my kids said, it's cold enough to snow. And it was. I mean, had we had some precipitation, we'd be liable to have some elevation of the snow on the ground. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. I'm just telling you, you know, I remember having to dig people out of snowbanks. That's why y'all are here. You know that. Most of you ain't from Florida. You just don't ever want to see that white stuff again. And you don't want to shovel it off of driveways and anything else. And listen, but what made me the worst mad was when you decided I'm going to be a good Samaritan. And that teenage girl that drove her little Prius into a snowbank, you shoveled them out. She didn't ever get, all she did was crack the window and speak to you outside the window and then push her out and then watch her drive it right back in the same hole she just come out of. And then you do it again. And they do it again. Do you know what God, he establishes you're going. He gave you a book that not only will save you, but it'll keep you on the right path. And keep your feet on the solid rock. But you know, too many people will go right back to the pit that God saved them out of. They'll want to drive it right back in the same snowbank that they came out of. They want to go back and say, well, God saved me. Why can't I live, look, and smell like the world? Because you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're supposed to look like the person that purchased you. You're supposed to talk like the person. You're supposed to be a witness and ought to bring God glory instead of bringing him shame. He brought me up and set me up, gave me direction. Why wouldn't I follow it? Do you know it changed everything? You know what would change everything if God visited you at your house and said, you get back in that pit again and you're staying there. Do you know it changed? After I dug that girl out once and pushed her out on the road, and I dug her out a second time, I dug her out the third time, pushed her out on the road, and I had her crack her window again. I said, if you put this thing back in that snowbank again, it's staying there. And you'll get in my vehicle and I'll take you home. Do you know what she didn't do? She didn't drive it back in that snowbank. Something magical happened. She learned how to drive and to keep it on the piece that was already plowed. I don't know what magical happened, but it did. You know what? All of a sudden, it meant something to her. She didn't want to be out there no more. Do you know what happens when you get in the Word of God and He establishes your goings? All of a sudden, you think about, look, God put me up on this road and He's using me today. But just like old Jonah, if we're not careful, we'll get into presumptuous sin as a Christian. We'll repent and repent and repent of the same sin. And then out of pride, we'll get presumptuous and say, well, God will forgive me for it again. Hey, one day, think about this. How many Jonahs God didn't prepare a fish for? How many of them sunk to the bottom and that's where the body still lays? But there was one God decided to get glory out of and swallowed him up and spat him up on the land. But let me just remind everybody in here, he didn't look the same as he did when he went in that fish, when he got out. He didn't act like he did. It was a life-changing moment and he was never going back to the belly of the whale again. Even his fervent preaching, 8-word message, and the whole town repented. Do you know you can get it done when you get serious? When you have a come to the belly of the whale moment, and in Jonah's word recording in the scripture that he felt like he was in hell. When you come to that close to the bottom, listen, God can use you, but it's a testimony that nobody ought to have to tell. That God didn't want you to have to tell, but you got that testimony because you kept driving back in the same old pit. And then God finally lifted you up. Listen, I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit of God can, just like I tapped on that window and looked in that window and said, don't you drive it back in there again, because this, you know, the Holy Spirit can knock on the door of your heart and go, don't you drive it back into that hole again. This is the last shot you got at it. You said, God can say that to me? You know. I'm looking out at a crowd today where you've heard it. Now, God didn't say it just the way. He didn't knock on your window. But just like you heard God speak audibly to you, you knew God is not. He's done fooling around with you. And God can get the glory out of spitting you up on the beach or taking you home. And he's not above it. Hey, folks, you say, well, preacher, boy, that's awful hard preaching. Well, isn't it better than getting in the belly of the whale? Wouldn't it be good if the preacher warns you not to do it again, to jump back in the pit again? He says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, that for somebody that he started me up, you know, I don't know. I don't got a wireless mic this morning, but let me just tell you, when I got saved, I wasn't like this before I got saved. God called and put in me something different. I wasn't Mr., you know, get in front of people and speak, but you know how they got them little monkeys you crank up and he starts doing that once you crank him up. You know, I mean, I'm just telling you, when I got saved, God put something new inside of my heart and soul. And if I have to stand and clap to get everybody's attention and go, Jesus saves, whatever it is that people need for me to get cranked up, he started me up. He put a new song in my heart. I don't sing the songs that I used to sing. I don't look to glorify the things that old songs used to glorify. Now I want to glorify my God. I want to tell everybody that He saved me. He drug me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock to stay forever. He gave me direction and He gave me a new song to sing. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you ever got a new song, but boy, He started me up. There, when I get back in His book and I read about what He's already done and what He is going to do in the future, it cranks me up again. And I go back to doing the monkey thing. Everybody, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Do you know what happens? We too often get wound down. We don't go back in our mind's eye. Sometimes it's good for us to go back and remember what pit we got drug up out of. Sometimes we get thinking that, hey, He started me up a long time ago, but now I've wound down and I ain't got no juice left. That ain't His fault. The uplifting power of God has not run out. If you're discouraged today, it's not like we don't have a God that can get you encouraged. If you just go back to His Word, get back in His established, His goings. Sometimes we get our own path and we wonder why we hate our life. There are people in here today, without a doubt, if we took a little bit of a poll, there would be people inside this room today that would say, God called me to His ministry, and I said no. Right. Yeah. And we wonder why we're not happy and chipper, because we are not doing what God made us to do. If we took a poll across the whole thing today, said, well, I'm not saying quit church and get out because you're not doing. Why don't you find out what His will is for you today? He told you what it was 20 years ago, and maybe today He'd say, well, I don't want you to do this. And you'd find, and you walk down and fall on your face before a holy God and say, God, I'm ready to serve You. I want to do Your will. You know, when you read this in verse 8, it says, I delight to do Thy will, O God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Do you know when God lifts you up out of the miry clay and makes you a son of God, that you can say the things the Son of God said just like that? I delight to do the will of God. Can you imagine the delight that the creation can have when it delights its creator? Do you realize when you fulfill what you were made to do in this life, the delight not only you receive from living it, but the delight God gets from you living it? There's nothing like making something. History is marked with many men who scientifically were giants, and they created something that changed the world. But then people took their creation and made it a misused thing for war. Do you know the atomic bomb doesn't just blow people up, but it powers nuclear submarines? And what was created to give almost limitless energy for things to go about and go also creates terrible destruction. And think about a holy God who saved you and pulled you up out of a miry pit, set your feet upon a rock, and He created you. You're His workmanship to do His will, and He watches you do your will. And you may not be a nuclear bomb against the things of God or God's will, but think, if you could make that much destruction, how much good could God use you to do? How much witnessing could God get out of you? How much glory could you bring and delight to a holy God? Lifted me up and set my feet. How about this? He put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, when I got a new song in my heart, and I don't claim to be a good singer, but you know what I've learned over the years? The more I sing, the better it got. Because I didn't know how bad it was when I first started singing. When I first got to preaching, I remember some of those early days. I went back to that church and sat there. That was the place I cut my teeth on preaching. The preacher would let me get up and preach. And I think about some of the heresies I preached when I was young. I had no idea it was heresy. I thought I was reading out of the Bible, but I wasn't rightly dividing the word. And afterwards, the preacher would pull me off to his side and go, you know, he wasn't mean. He didn't call me down from the, he just was encouraging to me. But you know, he not only started me up, but he'll tune me up if I let him. Do you know some of the times when we get out there, and you know, nothing's worse. If you know anything about a car, and some of you, I just went way over your head. All right, I understand that. But if you got anything and know anything about a sewing machine or a car or anything that has to have timing, you know when it is tuned and purring the way it ought to, it can do more than it ever could do when it was out of time. And sometimes as a Christian, I'm looking out at a group of people, and you're not so far from God and outside of his will, and God called you to do something, but it's been a long time since you had a tune-up. It's been a long time since you let God tweak your direction and get you focused on the thing that would delight him where you are right now. The thing that would make you feel purposed, that would make you feel like you are hitting on every cylinder, right at the point that you need to be. You know, the uplifting power of God is more than just dragging me up out of the miry clay and setting my feet. It's establishing my goings. It's not just listening up. It's not just being brought up. It's not just being set up or started up, but it's being tuned up for him. Do you know part of being in God's house is this church being in tune with our God? As one body of believers, the preacher is somebody that's just set apart from the body to be able to bring God's message to get us in tune and running the way God wants us to run. You know, the rest of the country, they weren't preaching about a parent choice bill because that was outside of the state of Florida. But in the state of Florida, we had something we were dealing with. And in tune, we got on board and we dealt with it. Do you know that every time we deal with things like that, that's because God wants us in tune and running, purring, and running the way we ought to. One of the greatest fears of my life is trying to run the race that God has set before me and running out of time. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, sometimes the thing that I've learned about motors or about anything else, it's better before you ever start the race. Before you get running as hard as you can. Do you know every race car garage has a garage. Every race car track has a garage, a pit area. Because guys are always tweaking on them cars to get it in tune and get it right for the next race. And for us, we ought to see, when we see a great victory like we have with parent choice, we ought to go back to getting in tune with God and getting tuned up and getting right, getting ready, because there's going to be another race. There's going to be another fight. There's going to be another battle. There's going to be more work. There's going to be things God can use to get glory in our lives if we will simply trust him. The uplifting power of God can save you today if you're here and you're not saved. The uplifting power of God today can start you up if you feel like you're on the last crank. You got no power left. If you get back to God, he can do it. How about this? If you're here and you say, preacher, I just feel out of tune. I don't feel like I'm hitting on all cylinders with God anymore. I feel like I'm out of touch with him. Why don't you get in tune? Do you know the same God that lifted you up and knew what you needed in salvation knows exactly what you need to get back in touch with him? And if you just simply fall on your face, you know every one of these stages, if you're out of touch, you need to be started back up. Every one of them starts just like the first stage. It's calling out to God and saying, God, and you know what? Just like the first stage, he's always listening and ready to come in with a tuning wrench, the crank to start it back up, to do whatever it is that you need in your life to do the work that will delight him and delight you. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, God wants to save you. He just wants you to call upon his name. If you're here this morning and you're lost and on your way to hell, you say, I don't know if I died right now where I would go. Do you know Jesus has purchased heaven for you if you'll simply put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ? But I also know inside this room there are tons of Christians who are waiting to be cranked up and started again for Jesus Christ. And there are others that need to be tuned up. As we stand to our feet and Brother Bert begins to sing, why don't you come to the altar and talk to God and cry out to Him and say, God, start me back up. Save me today, God. Get me in tune with You. As Brother Bert sings, you come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is an old-fashioned invitation, and the invitation is for you to step out and come forward and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can do that by just calling upon His name, and we can help you do that. We can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure, for a Bible reason, that you'll spend eternity in heaven. We'd love for you to do that. We'd love for you to step out. Meet us in the front. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you do what God is asking you to do, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
I appreciate everybody being here today, and I appreciate you understanding that the preacher just preaches long, and I was blessed, amen, this morning to be home and to be with you and be with my family. I know that there are folks that are visiting with us. If you're from Haines City or our local area and you're looking for a church, I'm going to be at the back door just for a few minutes shaking hands. I'd love to talk to you about, you know, if you're looking for a church, if you have something that you want to, or even if you couldn't step out and come this morning and receive Jesus Christ, I'd love to be able to take the Bible at the back door and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And we could take just some personal time to do that. Listen, I thank you for everyone being just filling in for me. What a blessing it was to see my grandbaby, but I can't wait. We have Shelton Smith next Sunday, and so don't miss that. Invite people. And right after that, we have Resurrection Sunday. And so invite somebody to be with you. It should be a big day in church as we glorify the Lord on the day of His resurrection. Amen. Brother Caleb, would you pray for us and close us out?
Heavenly Father, what a good place it is to be in the house of the Lord today, God. And what a blessing the message from Pastor was. Please bless us as we go out. Bless all the bus routes and bless all the people as we go home. Bring us back together again tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.